I'm going to explain a statement that I made last week for a moment, a little bit more in depth. I said that we're as valuable as Jesus, because you don't trade something for something. You don't trade something that does not have less value for something of less value. So God looked at us. He said, that's my pearl, and I'm going to trade my only begotten son for those pearls, because those pearls are valuable. So I was praying about it because I want to clear some things up. If I had a son that I adopted, and for the rest of his life, I would call him my adopted son. I would look at him and say, this is my son, he's adopted. When I introduced him to people, this is my adopted son. How would that make my son feel? You see the detachment there, right? There's a detachment there. Because we're always referring to him, your family only owned because of papers. Yeah, you're mine, but you're not really biologically mine. And in my son's eyes, he might have this view of, wow, you know, you don't treat me like you treat your biological children. I know that you say we have the same thing, but you don't treat me the same. And when you introduce me to people, I'm always referred to as the adopted son. Let me tell you something. Jesus, it says in scriptures that we've been adopted in, we've been engrafted. But when the Father looks at us, he does not say, these are my adopted children. He doesn't put a handle on it like that. What he says to us is, these are my children. You hear that? He gets rid of the label. He just says, my children. And value as being children of God. God values us like he values his only begotten son. And if we do not see ourselves in that light and value, we'll misplace our value for other things. And we'll be motivated out of a place that has improper value. And we'll always need to do something to be something. Did you catch that? We will always need to do something to be something. If I'm not doing something, I guess I'm nothing. But if I do something and people praise me for it, yes, I got value. I feel good in the moment. But what happens when the moment's over and you're at home, you're by yourself? Do you still see your value regardless of what you're doing, regardless of what you're saying, but because of what God has done and what God has said? Who defines you? That's huge. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about having the right motivation in that place. Because a lot of times there's this thing that's the heart's treasure. We have these needs and we have these wants. And a lot of times you hear needs are the essential things that we need. They are the things that we need so we can live. But do you know if I need something, I don't need to have a relationship with the thing I need? You understand that? Listen, I need air. But it doesn't mean I'm in love with air. I don't go around saying I'm in love with oxygen. I need water, but it doesn't mean I'm in love with water. Because if you give me a choice between water, coffee, or pop, I'm probably going to pick the coffee. And if you're a tea drinker, then there was a Boston Tea Party. I'm joking. But you see what I'm saying? Because your needs and your wants have to be two different things. But if you need something, there's no relationship value there. You're not in love with what you need. Like, I need food, but guess what? There's my favorite food. But it's something I need so I can survive. What does it mean to survive? Like, I need this in order to live. If I don't have this, I can't live. And a lot of times, we take Jesus, God, as I need God. And there we have the relationship value. Now, is that true that we need God? Absolutely. Right? No one's going to argue that. But how do you view yourself with him? Do you, like, God doesn't want you to just keep coming because you need. He wants you to desire him. And he doesn't need you to desire him. But he wants you to. See, it's about a position of your heart. See, what's motivating your heart? Like, are you motivated? Because, like, seriously, I need God, so I need to do this, and I need to do that, so I'm okay with God, and so God fulfills my prescription. I know, that's real. Yeah. But do you see there's no love in that? That's a business transaction, isn't it? Come on. It ain't being mean, it's just being honest. That's a business transaction. So there's this need, and then there's this I want. A want is not essential, but it's desired. It's desired. See, when you desire something, I want that. That places value on it, doesn't it? Do you know just by using the word I want that, it places a value on it? What value? The value that you give it. Honestly, money is really not valuable, but humans, we give paper value. Do you know that? Because we value a dollar, therefore it holds the value of a dollar in currency. So if people quit valuing a dollar, I wonder will it still be valuable? No. The same is true. Do you need money to do transactions in this world? Absolutely. But if you, really, if people quit valuing money, we'll go back to a barter system, wouldn't we? Barter and trade. The same is true with God. If you would begin to value God and see that you desire Him, see, the desire births a value, and a value births a desire. Until you value Him, there's no desire for Him. He's just a need. Do you know this happened in Scripture? It's really cool. Actually, in a couple places in Scripture, it happened. I'm going to give you this story, and then we're going to dive in. Jesus, right? He does this awesome miracle. People are hungry. They need food. Jesus looks at His disciple. He said, hey, what do we got to eat? His disciple said, Lord, there's so many people. Send them home. We're not going to have enough for ourselves. And Jesus talked to another one, and this other one spoke up and said, there's a boy here with 2 fish and 5 loaves. So what happens? Jesus says, sit the people down in groups. He takes the bread. He blesses it. He takes the fish. He blesses it. And He passes it out. He didn't pass out. He passed it out. Some of us might have passed out after we ate on Thanksgiving, though. But Jesus, after He did that, there were so many baskets full left over. And then you have these people that are following Him, not because of Him, not because they want or desire Him, because their bellies were filled. Let's look at this scripture. It's in John 6, and we're going to start the 25th verse. The people found Jesus on the other side of the lake. They asked Him, teacher, when did you come here? He said, why are you looking for me? I found that to be astonishing. Jesus is like, what do you want? Is it because the miraculous sign? And it was like, no, it's not. The truth is, you're looking for me because you ate the bread and were satisfied. But earthly food spoils and ruins. So you don't work to get that kind of food. But work to get the food that stays good and gives you eternal life. The Son of Man will give you that food. He is the only one qualified by God the Father to give it to you. People were seeking after Jesus. They sought after Him only because their bellies were filled. They got a need met. I came to God because He met my need. And God's really faithful at doing that because that's His character. He's generous. Like, God's so generous, even if you would just come to Him because you need something, He would still give it because that's who He is. You can't change that. That's His nature. But the motivation of these people were because my belly's filled. Jesus even said, are you seeking me because you saw the miracle done? They're like, uh-uh. We don't really care about that. We just want you to keep making that food, man. Do you understand what this is going to do for my wallet? But that's why they were seeking God. They're seeking Him out of a needs-based and needs-driven. It was motivated not out of who God is, but what God can give me. Yeah. You know where we're going, don't you? So then the people went on and asked God something. They said, they said, whoa, give me this food. Give me this bread. And so Jesus, he's like, okay, I'm going to hit you square in the face with what you're asking for. Make sure the scripture's up there. Good. We're going to go to the next one. Yes. And Jesus started asking. The people asked Jesus, what does God want us to do? Jesus answered, the work of God that God wants you to do is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Because he was talking about you don't need to strive for food that perish. I understand you need it, but don't strive for it. I want you to understand that you need what I have. You need this, but you need to want this. Because God wants you to do a work. And what is it? To believe in his son. You know, the cool thing about the way God looked at belief, God always looks at belief with an action. He never looks at it apart from an action. We think that if I believe something in my head without action, I really believe it. That's not true. When you believe in Jesus, you make a response. A response occurs within you, and an action is birthed, right? When you believe something that God tells you, an action is birthed. Do you know in your Bible, that's why Jesus, it says, after the Great Commission, it says, these things will follow them that believe. It was a response. If your belief is not producing a response, then you need to reevaluate your belief. Because a response must be birthed. So I'm going to ask everyone here a question. Do you need God or do you want God? Do you need God or do you want God? Some people said both. I believe it's both, but do you need him or do you want him? Pick one. You got to pick one. You got to really distinct in your heart and discern in your own heart. Pick one. See, the reason why, well, usually you heard a preacher probably say, come to God so you don't go to hell, right? So your motivation for coming to God is so you don't go to hell, right? That's not based because you want God. That has absolutely nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with self-preservation. Come on. It's about self-preserving oneself. Whenever one must look to preserve oneself, it's always based on selfishness. It's the truth, whether you like it or not. See, coming to God so you don't burn is like, oh no, I don't want to burn, so I'm going to go ahead and say this. So I need him. And you really don't need him. You just need what he can do for you. Right? How many people in a relationship with your spouse or a friend would want your spouse to say, I just love you for what you can do for me? Well, that's not going to fly too quick, is it? I only need you for the momentary. Right? That's really weird. But it's equally weird to treat God the same way. When he really designed marriage, and it was always supposed to reflect how he was to us. See, God knows that you need him, but he doesn't want you to be motivated out of need. Imagine how it would be if you would be like, I want God. I have a desire for God. Like, I'm not saying that I don't need air. I don't pray to air. I'm not in love with air. I'm not in love with water or food, but it tastes good. I like what food can do for me. I like what water does for me. I like that air is in my lungs so I can breathe. But it has no value of relationship and love. There's nothing there. I never heard someone say, hey, I want to get married to a glass of water. But we don't know. It might be coming. Oh, shoot. I'll behave. But what's motivating you to follow God? Is your statements like, I have to read my Bible? You know, usually there are two motivations, and I'm going to break them down. The needs motivation is always, I need so I don't get something. The wants motivation is, I want a relationship with God. The need's motivation is, I need God so I don't go to hell. Do you understand? And those two categories are what drives Christians. If you don't want to go to hell, right? I don't understand anyone that wants to. I don't. It's not. I don't even understand that song. It's a highway. Oof. Forget it, dude. I don't know what they were thinking. But what I'm saying is, if you focus on what you need, it has nothing to do with a relationship and growth. It has only thing it does is it's about fulfilling your prescription for that moment. And then the next moment comes and you're going to go back to him for another prescription. You get what I'm saying? So you're only going to go monthly for a prescription. You're only going to come Sunday, but what are you doing through the week? Come on. Like, if this is the pinnacle of being filled in him and being finding fulfillment, if it's based off of just a need of God, then you really do not understand and you really don't love him. This is the truth. Do you know in the Greek there are two types of love? There's eros and there's agape. The eros love, that's self-love. And it's not the healthy self-love, it's selfishness. Whatever does me well. Well, these people aren't very nice, so I'm going to cut them out of my life. This group of people, I don't really care for what they look like. I'm going to cut them out of my life. You see, it's all about self-preservation. So the need is all about your own selfish preservation. But if you would switch to a different place of seeing and thinking, and it's called I want a relationship with God. I desire him. What? What do you mean you want God? I want God. Like, dude, there's a living God. His name is Jesus. And he's amazing. Listen, he already expressed his love to me when he hung on a cross. But not only did he express it back then, but he's expressing it every day to me. Man, I'm in a good relationship. And next minute you know, you start doing things not because you have to. If you need, then you have to. Like if you need water, so you have to drink water. You get what I'm saying? But I want God, so I desire God, so I begin to pursue God out of a desire based in love. And it's not selfishness. I'm going to show you what's selfish. I need God, or I want God because I like the way I am when I'm with him. He makes me better. Wow. That's still based off selfishness. Did you know that? This is just the truth. And truth sets you free. See, if it's based off of selfishness, God, I need you to change me so I'm better. How about you just hang out with God and the change will happen naturally? Do you know the most intimate times I have with Papa isn't when I'm pursuing anything. I'm just there saying, hey, I'm here. I just so love being with you. And it's not for what I feel. We have to get past what we feel. All right? I love you because I see your character. I love you for you. I gotta hold it together because this is real. I love God for God. I don't care. I mean, look, it's cool that he heals people. It's cool that you can do spiritual gifts. But I love God for God. He first loved me. And because I see that he chose me and I see his action of love, and I dwell on the action that God has done, not only on the cross, but how he brought me to himself, it opens a deep well inside of me. That the response naturally occurs that's called love. Now the love of God is being expressed not only to me, but in me simultaneously. And out of that love births an action, births a call, births these things. It's not about I have to, I get to. And as long as you live by, I have to do this, I promise you're either religious or legalistic. I have to worship. Well, that's really, you have to? No, I don't have to. I get to. I have to pray today. I didn't pray at 7 o'clock. Oh God. No, I get to pray. I get to have this deep, intimate communion with God. Wow. And guess what? When I come to Him in a pure heart, the Bible says the pure in heart do what? Oh boy. How many people want to see God? I don't chase God for an encounter. An encounter with God is birthed out of a pure heart. See, I understand. You need to encounter God. Yeah, that's cool. I understand what you're saying. But is it birthed in a pure heart? As I live my life, I'm encountering Him. As I'm up here talking, I'm encountering Him. And it's amazing. But I don't live for an encounter. That's like me momentarily living with my wife just for intimacy. Come on. I'm being real now. Honey, I only want you for the intimate times, but other than that, I'm not against encounters, but I want you to understand you get to carry God inside of you. And you can love Him from a pure heart and a pure place to where God becomes so real. Not because you're saying I need you to be real, but because He's like, the pure in heart see me. And I get to fellowship with Him. I get to live with Him. I get to experience His presence. I get to read His word. It's not that I have to. I get to put my trust in His promises. Not because I have to, but I get to. And all of a sudden, you become excited about your faith. You know, how many people remember when they first fell in love with their spouse? Right? How many people didn't want, all they thought about all day was them? They wanted to hang out with them. And they probably, you know, I would go to my girlfriend's house and knock on the door early in the morning and bring her breakfast and leave. Why? Why? Because I love you. What good did it do me? That you get to know that I love you, but also now your belly's filled. Yay! It had nothing to do with what I got out of it. It had everything to do with what she can get. Are you in this for God, or are you in it for what you can get? That's why you hear me. You don't really hear me preach about going to heaven. I preach about knowing Him. Because God said this in Scripture. You want eternal life? Eternal life is to know Him and the one that He has sent, being Jesus. It's never been about this heaven-hell thing. I promise. You know why? You want to know how I know that? Even in Scripture, at the end of the book, He's going to put us back on earth. Go figure. He says, I'm creating a new heaven and a new earth. And guess where you guys are going to be? On the new earth called New Jerusalem. Wow. So it really isn't about me hanging out at daddy's chair. It's more so about me knowing the one who sits on the chair. And growing from that place. And then being motivated from there. Because if I'm motivated correctly. And if I'm motivated in the depths of my heart and love. Then you know you become unstoppable. You do. And the unstoppable part is this. You'll be willing to die for Jesus, not because it's your duty, it's because I love Him, He loves me. You'll be motivated to do things because you're loved and you love Him. You'll seek after God with all your heart, not because I have to. Not because the pastor said that's a good thing to do. You get what I'm saying? In your life, if you have a list of what you have to do with God, I'm going to challenge you to throw it out. Because you're not free. Freedom is I don't have to, but I get to. And I want to. And when I want to, boy. And when you're in a place of what I want and desire, God begins to express His love towards you. Your capacity to receive from God becomes greater. Because in that one place, you just want him to do this one thing. And once that one thing's done, that's it. You're up, you're gone. But if it's in a proper place, all of a sudden you're like with God and he did like 30 things that you didn't even know about until later. And you get to discover, you get to discover all the amazing things God has done. You're like, wow, he did this. And people are like, okay, you're kind of weird. Did you just get born again? No, I've been this way for 7 years. Oh, God. That's what we want. Remember when you first became a Christian? You were excited. Are you still? You remember when you couldn't stop telling people about the love of God? Do you still? Because it's just that real. And if you're living and you're getting mature, it should be getting better. See, God is so good that even if someone comes to him because they don't want to go to hell, he'll still save them. That's just his nature. But as we mature in Christ, we don't stay there. We move into a deeper relationship with him where we're motivated out of, I get to love God. I get to experience him. I get to do these things, not because I have to. And when you do that, I promise your encounters with God will be rich. The reading of scripture will be rich. Like, you won't just read because, okay, and then you have your concordance next to it and you're trying to mentally exert yourself and break it down. You'll read and then you'll be like, wow, this really stood out. God, what are you saying in this moment? And next minute, you know, you start hearing God speak through Holy Spirit. And you're like, wow. And you'll cry. And in your Bible, there will be not only highlights, but teardrops. To where you can go back and say, I remember when God told me about this. And your life, if you're not reading the Bible, you'll be walking places and God will be talking to you because you're in a pure place. And you're just like, wow. And these rich, crazy encounters will happen. I'm going to end here. I had to get my wife's car. I had to get an oil change done. And so I went to go get an oil change done on my wife's car. And I'm like, dude, this has to happen. So I went to go set the appointment and they couldn't get me in for like 2 hours. I was like, nope, we're going to reschedule. So I went back on Tuesday to get her oil changed. I'm sitting there. I'm on the phone with my brother. And I'm like, I'm just going to talk to my brother. And we're having this conversation. We're laughing and joking, talking a little bit about comics, you know. And this man gets up in front of me and he gets in. He has this grimace look on his face full of pain. He's like, and he starts walking. I'm on the phone with my brother. I'm like, okay. He starts walking and I'm like, all right. He's like, my sciatic nerve. Telling this other guy all about it. Well, I'm on the phone, right? I said, hold on, G. And he's up there and he's in a lot of pain. And he begins to walk and I can't really tell where he went, but I was like, all right. If he comes back, then, okay, Papa, we're going to go. And it's not because I have to. It's not because I'm forced to, but I get to. So he goes over to this table and he leans and I go up to him and I say, hey, man, what's going on? He's like, my sciatic nerve, it hurts so bad. He's like, I can barely sit and stand. I said, can I pray for you? Because Jesus wants to heal that thing. He's like, I didn't say Jesus has to. I said he wants to, because that's who God is. So he's like, yeah, I put my hand on his hip. And I said, Papa, in Jesus' name, just simple. I don't try to make it big and fancy. I love God. And I said, you're going to begin to notice some heat hitting it. It's from God. It's the Holy Spirit touching. He's like, I do. I feel heat. It's hot. Then he gets up. I said, well, walk it out, man. Walk it and make sure it's gone. He walks around. And by that time, I went and sat back down. I continued my conversation with my brother. I was like, all right, cool. Later on, I get off the phone. The guy comes and sits next to me. And he's in this place with me. And I look at him. He's just like, man, can I tell you something? I say, yeah. He's like, every day my sister tells me I need God. She tells me to give it over to Jesus. Not only my sister, but my best friend now too. And I was just like, yippee. You know, I'm excited. And he's just like, but now you're here in this Honda place. And you're telling me about God. And I got, for that moment, I got to share my heart with him about Jesus. Not because I have to, but I get to, and I'm excited to. And the more I started sharing, the more his eyes got watery. And I began to tell him about God. Like, he's good. I said, man, he just wants you to know him. He wants you to invite him in. He wants you to invite him in your heart, but also your life. And he wants to share his things with you and you to share your things with him. He wants a relationship with you, man. And by this time, the man's eyes got so wide. He's like, okay, thank you. I gotta go. I'm like, get him, God. Yeah. Why? Not because I have to. If we would go at this Christian life as I get to do these things, and I'm not trying to force them, I'm just out and about living, then you would see the excitement it is when you're motivated out of, I want God, and I want people to know God. Not they have to, but I want them to, because that's what my Father wants.